We're going to consider the parable of the lost coin, found here in Luke 15, verses 8 through 10. Let me read those verses for you. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. Now at the beginning of this year, in the month of January, we began a series on the parables of Christ. If you remember in January, I said there are five C's that we need to consider when we study parables. I said we have to pay attention to the context. And then we have to pay attention to the characters. Then we have to pay attention to the content of the parable, as well as the conclusion of the parable, and as well what I called the consequences, the application, the implications for us today. Let's consider the context of this parable. We find it in verses 1 through 3. We actually have a reference to it all the way up in verse 25 of chapter 14, where we read, There went great multitudes with Jesus, and he turned and said unto them. So we know there's a great crowd that's flocking to Jesus. At this point of his ministry, he is very popular. And we're told in verse 1 that publicans and sinners were drawing near to hear him. Now, if you remember, publicans were tax collectors. They were Jewish tax collectors that had worked a deal with the Roman government, kind of betraying their own people. And so they weren't viewed very highly by the Jews. They were viewed as cheats, and most of them were. But also sinners gathered. This is likely a reference to people who lived on the other side of Jordan in what is called in the Gospels Galilee of the Gentiles. These are non-Jewish people. They're living in this area. Now they're gathered around listening to Jesus. They drew near. They were attracted to him. They drew near, Luke says, to hear Jesus. It wasn't that Jesus was some famous rock star, some impressive person, sports star that people gathered. They wanted to hear what he had to say. And so, we see the context by these publicans, these tax collectors and sinners gathering together, these non-Jews. But we also see in the context in verse 2 that the Pharisees and the scribes are upset about this. They murmured. They complained. They weren't happy about this. They weren't happy about who Jesus was attracting. Jesus, knowing that the scribes and the Pharisees, the so-called religious leaders of the time, weren't happy, we're told in verse 3, and he spake a parable unto them. He's going to speak a parable primarily for the Pharisees and the publican. Now, excuse me, the Pharisees and the scribes, not for the publicans and the sinners. They have a lesson to learn, but his focus really is on these complainers, these men that aren't happy with who's gathering to hear him. So we have the context of this parable. Then we have the characters. Now in the last parable that we looked at 2 weeks ago, 2 months ago in Luke 15, Luke 15, 4 through 7, we learned about the lost sheep. We said there were a couple characters in that story, that parable. You had the sheep, you had the shepherd, and you had the people that the shepherd gathered together when he found his sheep and brought them back. We have something similar here. We have a woman. We have a coin. And we have friends and neighbors again. And we have something similar, don't we, in the parable of the prodigal son or the lost son. You have someone lost. You have someone seeking the father, but not going out seeking, but desiring that the son would return. You have all the people that work for the father, they're going to celebrate when that lost son returns. Then you have one other character, the elder son. You see, I think oftentimes we miss that parable when we call it the parable of the prodigal son. Jesus' focus seems to be more on the elder brother, the son that was lost but stayed home. But he was just as lost. He was self-righteous. He was trusting in his deeds. And so we'll look at that parable, Lord willing, next month. But this month we'll focus on this woman, a lost coin, and her friends and neighbors. The woman clearly is somebody that's lost something. She's seeking. It's like the shepherd. This is, in this parable, it's a picture of God and His ministers given by this type, this picture of a woman. She's looking for a piece of silver. She's lost one. You see, back in the old days, you couldn't put your money in the bank. Might not be a safe place to put your money today. You didn't have places to... So you had to hide your money. You had to keep your money somewhere hidden. And you could forget where you've hidden some of the money. You may not want to hide it all in one place in your house. You may want to hide it in a few different places, so that if a robber comes in, they don't get it all. Well, this woman's lost a piece. Why she's lost it, we don't know. But she's lost it. So in the content in verses 9 and 10, we have this lost coin. Jesus says, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, just 1 out of 10, she's going to look for it. So we have the lost coin. We have the diligent search. She lights the candle. Apparently it's at night. She needs some more light. She lights the candle. She sweeps the house. Says she made a diligent search till she finds it. She doesn't give up. She's looking hard and looking long until she finds it. It's a picture of the ministers of Christ and Christ Himself searching, seeking that which is lost. He says He's come to search and seek and save the lost. So a diligent search for the one coin that was lost. It says in verse 9, when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors. This woman has a diligent search. But once she finds it, she stops searching. Then she starts celebrating. Search, and then celebration. When she's found it, she celebrates. She finds the coin, then she celebrates the coin. But she doesn't celebrate it by herself. This is at the heart of what Jesus is getting at. She finds it, she calls her friends and her neighbors together. This sounds like she has some people that she's close to that don't live right around her. She calls them, but she also calls the people in her neighborhood that live right around her. They may not be as close to her in relationship, but they live around the neighborhood. She calls friends and neighbors. Let's have a party. And she says, rejoice with me. For I have found the peace which I had lost. So here Jesus gives us another lost and found story. In Luke 15, we have a parable that is three parables in one. Three lost and found stories. A lost sheep that a shepherd goes after and then celebrates when he finds. A woman who loses a piece of silver and celebrates once she has found the piece of silver. And then one lost son, really two lost sons. One found, one entreated, one sought after. And certainly our prayer would be when we have children, when we see children like that, that are lost in their self-righteousness, our desire is to see them won by the Savior as well. Isn't it? Not just the children that run away in rebellion, but the children that think they're going to be saved by staying in the Father's house and just doing what the Father says and not seeing their sins. So what's the conclusion to to this parable. We have it in verse 7. I say unto you likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. That's the conclusion to the previous parable. But verse 11 says something very similar, or verse 10, excuse me, says something very similar. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. You see, the lost coin is a picture of a sinner, just like the lost sheep was a picture of a lost sinner. But you see what Jesus is getting at? He's saying, Pharisees, you know that the publicans, as well as the heathens, don't know the truth. And yet, when these people come to hear the truth of God from me, you're not happy. Jesus says, don't you get it? When one of them are converted, with one of them understand my teaching and confess their sins and flee to me by faith, the angels in heaven rejoice. In other words, why don't you rejoice? Why won't you rejoice on earth if the angels in heaven are rejoicing? That's what Jesus is getting at. And so what's the conclusion? The conclusion is verse 11, is verse 7. Verse 10, excuse me. But there's some implications from this. The Pharisees were like many who believed they were righteous in their own strength. In other words, they didn't think they needed to repent because they didn't think they sinned. Jesus isn't saying those other 99 that thought they needed no repentance didn't. He's saying they just didn't understand. The publicans and the heathens, they're the only ones that really understand their need. So in these parables, we see that there are people that are self-righteous. But we also see there are people who come to recognize their sinfulness and come to see their need of repentance. They come to see their need of Christ and His forgiveness. You see, the heavenly host, the angels rejoice when that happens. That's why the angels rejoiced when Jesus was born. When Jesus came in the flesh, do you remember what the angels did when they spoke and announced Jesus' birth to those shepherds? They said in Luke 2:14, glory to God in the highest. They joyed that Messiah had come, the one that would save needy sinners. You see, Peter tells us in 1 Peter 1 that the angels desire to look into the salvation that's ours. They enjoy looking at the gospel, thinking about the mighty work of God in saving sinners. They enjoy that. It tells us something about what we're going to enjoy in the afterlife, isn't it? We're going to enjoy looking at that too and understanding it better than we do. It delights us now. Just imagine how much that old story is going to delight us in glory when we're without sin. So what's the application? What's the consequence? We've seen the conclusion in the text. What's the implication for us? We have to ask ourselves, have we repented? You have to ask yourself, have you repented? Jesus says in John 13:17, if ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. He says it's not enough to know that salvation is in Christ. Good to know. But if you know and don't do, you're not going to be happy. You're not going to be joyful. And so God calls us, if we see our sins, to turn from our sins and flee unto Christ and find salvation. An old minister in the Victorian age in London wrote these words. He said, let the man or woman who is afraid to repent consider well the verses we are now looking at and be no more afraid. There is nothing on God's part to justify your fears. An open door is set before you. A free pardon awaits you. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's nothing to be afraid of. God is a God who seeks sinners. The door is open to those that would flee unto Him. But He goes on to say, let no one be afraid to repent. But He goes on to say, let the man or woman who is ashamed to repent. It's one thing to be fearful about repenting, afraid what you're going to get yourself into by trusting Christ and living for Him. Some people are afraid of that. Some people are afraid of how people are going to treat them if they come to Christ. They're afraid of being ashamed of the gospel later on. And He says, let the man or woman who is ashamed to repent consider these verses and cast shame aside. What though the world mocks and jests at your repentance, while man is mocking, angels are rejoicing. You see, people were coming to Christ and they were hearing the good news. They were being converted and the religious leaders didn't like it. They didn't like the riffraff coming in amongst the people of God. Jesus' answer is, don't be afraid of what the Pharisees and publicans think. Don't be afraid of what anybody might think, whether they're Christians or professing Christians or not Christians. Don't be afraid of them, but flee to Christ while He may be found. Because the angels in heaven do rejoice, and so ought we when any sinner comes to Christ.